with a whole lot of truth. Remedy Revolution is here for you.
Ooh. And now here's your host, Aaron Page.
All interviews presented on the Remedy Revolution podcast are designed to provide information and inspiration only. Guests of the podcast may present opinions and anecdotes which are solely their own. And as always, before beginning any treatment protocol, please consult with your preferred medical provider. Welcome to the Revolution. I am Erin, and today's guest is a lovely woman who I have met several times, actually. She can be found very often at the Texas State Capitol, and she's been very instrumental, actually, in passing legislation and stopping legislation all throughout the country, because many, many parents have utilized her as an amazing example. So I would love to introduce you to the amazing Jackie Schlegel. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, because so many of us parents have kind of jumped into this journey of medical freedom kicking and screaming. It's not something that most of us set out to do from the get-go. And many parents like myself who have dealt with many of these issues then go back and go into healthcare or various other modalities, healing modalities, but you went a different route. So tell me why that is. Why did you decide to go into politics, which is so often like, you know, people shy away from politics as much as possible. So why is it that you chose to go that direction?
Well, Erin, you know, I'm so glad that you asked this question, but I think really if you just stand back and you look at the current state of where we are right now, we just experienced 2-3 years of our kids being their lives turned upside down. They were masked. They were pulled out from school. They were isolated. They were withdrawn from their peers. They were told to hug their grandparents. They had to be wrapped in plastic or bubble wrap. They were told they had to be vaccinated if they wanted to play football. And when I look back over the 3 years, I don't say, how did I make this decision? Because it wasn't a decision for me. We have to fight back against those who are attempting to infringe on our medical rights, our right to informed consent, our parental rights to make choices for our children. And I don't think there's ever been a better time to make that decision to get active and involved to ensure that we preserve our rights and our liberties.
So looking back at the very inception of what you started to do at the Texas State Capitol, I, on the other, you know, other side of the country in California, was dealing with so much of the issues that we were dealing with there. Now, one of the things that really upset me about what went on in California was the fracturing of so many of these groups that had organized initially and had a lot of momentum, and then ended up fracturing. So how was it that you were able to remain united in the state of Texas and to have the successes that you ultimately have had?
Well, I think keeping our eye on the real enemy, not getting distracted and staying laser focused. Again, here in the state of Texas, you know, we have seen these attempts at vaccine mandates. We've seen our schools shut down. We have seen those who file bills every legislative session to infringe on our rights. That's my number one concern. And that should be the number one concern of every parent, every advocate, every advocacy group needs to remember what just happened the last 3 years. And also remember that this has been going on a lot longer than just the last 3 years, but that needs to be at the forefront of our efforts. They have continually just tried to infringe on our rights and our medical freedoms and liberties, our constitutional rights to vaccine freedom of choice. And when we keep that at the focus, it's very easy to keep going in the direction that we are, which is to protect our rights.
So what was the tipping point for you personally? What was that last thing that happened that you were like, okay, no more. I'm ready to step into my power and do what I need to do as a mom and as a citizen and as a freedom-loving human being here on this planet. So what was that spark like for you?
It was 2015. There was a mandate bill filed here in the state of Texas that mirrored, you know, Senate Bill 277 in California, the vaccine mandate bill that it ultimately stripped parents of their rights to make informed medical choices for their children. A lot of people, families fled California, came to Texas. I had never been involved before, politically speaking. I'd never been active on the level that I was about to get active, but that did, that spurred something so deep inside of me. And I'll never forget just really thinking, you know, not only was this just a logistical issue, but this was a fundamental issue in my life. I did not believe the government should be making these decisions for my children. Whether I, you know, was going to vaccinate or not was wholly irrelevant to the fact that I believed I should make these decisions for my children. And that was a turning point in my life. That's when I really realized this is a battle. I have to step up as a parent to protect my children. I have to get active. I have to get involved. And that's what I did back in 2015. Little did I know where that was going to lead us in the upcoming years.
Yeah. So where has that led you? So, you know, that I know there's been lots of legislation that has been forcibly attempted to pass anyway in multiple states, not just in Texas. So what have you been able to accomplish here in Texas over the last several years?
Well, you know, first and foremost, we've been able to defeat countless attempts to mandate vaccines in the state of Texas, not only with the COVID vaccine, but in previous years, this attempt to mandate all vaccines according to the CDC schedule for school entrance. We've been able to defeat all of those attempts. But I think more importantly, more impressively, is the fact that we've been able to advance our rights and our freedoms. And one of the most proud moments of this legislative session for me personally is House Bill 44. This is an access to care bill. This bill protects vulnerable children who are on the state Medicaid program or the Children's Health Insurance Program. And this will ensure that no doctor can deny them based solely on their vaccination status. This is a small but gigantic step in the right direction, because it's our belief at Texans for Medical Freedom, and I believe your supporters, your followers will probably agree, that at the end of the day, you have the basic right to informed consent. That means you get to choose, you understand the risk and the benefits, and you are able to choose without consequence. When the state or the federal government holds healthcare over your head and says you cannot see a doctor unless you are vaccinated with a COVID vaccine or any other vaccine, that is violating your right to informed consent. And here in Texas, we stood up and we pushed back against the federal government and said, we're not going to tolerate that. We're not going to mandate the COVID vaccine for our children. And we're not going to allow doctors in the state of Texas to deny care to these children whose parents have chosen otherwise for them.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I had heard at one point that, and it probably wasn't in Texas, but that there were some states that were not allowing family members on food stamps, on government assistance, to be able to pick up those items without having their children vaccinated. Is that true, or am I making that up?
They sometimes were forced, you know, with masks. Some were not allowed to attend extracurricular activities. Some had to show proof of vaccination. We heard cases around the country where parents in custody arrangements who had visitation were not allowed to see their children unless they were fully vaccinated. This is completely absurd. It's an infringement on on our rights, on our medical freedoms, and absolutely, do we need to stand up and fight back against this tyranny? 100%. This happened in Texas, this happened across the country. And if we are not careful, it is going to happen again. The writing is on the wall. We've already seen school districts talk about masks. We've seen them talk about shutdowns and COVID outbreaks and mitigation efforts. We've heard the CDC recently come out and recommend not just the COVID vaccine, but your flu vaccine, your RSV vaccine. They are not stopping with these mandates and these recommendations, and we just got to put a stop to it.
Yeah. I just also heard something as well about, you know, and then maybe this is a little bit off topic, but the masking in the schools, for example, how that was precipitated by a need for school districts to fulfill their agreement because of the government monies that were sent to these particular districts. And so the monies were sent to provide things like masks, but that was a condition of that money. So once the money was already lent, then they were essentially in the hole. They had already spent it, right? And at that point, they were told that part of the agreement is you must mask your children. And so, you know, again, like I see how all of that plays a role, like masking in this particular instance seems to be the gateway drug, if you will, into, you know, forcibly mandating additional, you know, requirements on people. Would you agree with that?
You know, I think what's cool about that is what you have also seen is parents rising up all across the country saying, you are not going to mask my child. You are not going to shut down schools and send them back behind a computer. Look, test scores have been down. Social development benchmarks and milestones are not being met. The rate of which kids are being referred to speech pathologists is unlike anything we've ever seen before. But parents are seeing this. They're seeing what's happening roll out. They're relying on their experience the last 3 years, and they're getting active and involved. They're showing up to their school boards. They're showing up in their city councils. They're getting to the state legislature and saying, not on my watch. It does not matter what our local officials say, what our school board says, what our legislature, what the federal government tries to cram down our throats. We're not having it. These are our children. They have a right to education. They have a right to their communities. They have a right to socialization. And we're going to stand up and fight back for our children and make sure that their rights are protected.
So being that here at the Remedy Revolution, we're focused on how do we remedy the situation, right? So how do parents get involved, not only here in Texas, but, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, like I mentioned in California, were very willing to jump into the fight, but they didn't know where to start. They didn't know who to turn to. There were multiple organizations and people felt like they were being pulled every which way and in many different directions. And, you know, there was guidance coming from these various organizations, which contradicted each other. So, you know, how do people get started and how do they organize in a meaningful way, in a way that really unites people instead of starts these kind of little infights and things when ultimately we're all fighting for the same thing, right? So I think it's really important to present that united front. What would be your words of recommendation for parents that are looking to get involved?
Sure. Well, first, I really hope everybody, no matter where you are, what state you are in, please follow me. Come to TexansForMedicalFreedom.org, because not only, you know, are we putting out a lot of great content as far as protecting our rights, we do it in a way that here in Texas, we've built bridges, we've built relationships. And I love to talk about medical freedom advocacy. That is my heart. That is my passion. I live medical freedom advocacy. And so I want to share my tips with you. And I want to share with you how we are being successful here in Texas. And no matter where you are in the country, in the world, I believe you can learn from what we're doing here in Texas. As far as individuals getting involved in their state or their, you know, wherever they are in their local community, pick the organization that shares the same values that you have, because they are going to vary slightly. So find one that you aligned with their values, show up, get active and involved. If they are encouraging good advocacy, this is kind, this is respectful, this is factual, that's what you're looking for. You want to show up to the Capitol, you want to show up to your school board meetings, and you want to be fierce and you want to drive your message home, but you want to do it in a respectful manner. And so it's very easy to weed out who's not doing that when you show up in person, you get active and involved. And there might not be an organization, and that's okay. You are more than capable of figuring out, you know, and navigating those ropes and finding, you know, how you can get involved in your local community.
So talk to me about the first time you went to the Capitol. What was that like? I can only imagine. I've now been several times, both with your organization as well as, you know, with Americans for Homeopathy Choice, run by another amazing advocate, Paula Brown. So both of you guys take a little bit of a different approach, but it's very similar as far as, you know, what you guys are doing from creating a relationship standpoint, you know, making sure that we're face to face, that we're talking to our senators, our elected officials, and, you know, giving people the human stories, the human element to really relate to them as much as we can, because it's difficult. So back in 2015, I can only imagine what those conversations were like, because it, you know, vaccines were like, and still are, but I think a lot of people are more vocal now. But back in 2015, I think it was like the politics and religion, like you don't talk about politics, religion, or vaccines. So how did you start? What was your very first visit like?
So, you know, the good news is things have changed so drastically that it's no longer like something that we're not allowed to talk about, right? Like back in 2015, talking about vaccine freedom of choice was really controversial. Now it's not. Everybody talks about it, even if they don't agree with you. So the good news is you can cross that fear off your list. But sure, walking into that building, look, I was completely overwhelmed. Here I am. I'm like, I'm a mom. I'm just a mom. You know, I don't know really how to navigate this building, but it is very similar to navigating a doctor's office or your child's school where you're collaborating with the staff. At the end of the day, sometimes we look at these people in these positions and we think of them as authority figures, but we really fail to recognize that they are partners. Your doctor is your partner in your child's health. Your educator is your partner in ensuring that child has academic success. When you walk into that building, these elected officials work for you. They are there to listen to your concerns and to craft policy to protect your rights. Now, look, I believe in showing up, being kind, being respectful, being a resource to these offices. Over 6,000 bills can be filed in a given legislative session. They can't be experts on everything, but they know when Jackie Schlegel is in that building, they have a resource they can rely on who is dependable, who is factual, and who will deliver the message with kindness and compassion. So go in, it's a family affair, bring your kids, show up, engage with your elected officials, and do so like you would in any other manner. You're a resource here, you are bringing your concerns as a constituent, and you are concerned about the overreach of government into your home, how can we partner to protect the great state of Texas?
All right. That being said, how many doors have you had slammed in your face?
You know, initially, 2019 was a really bad year. I had a lot of doors slammed in my face. But I will tell you, this last legislative session, we had 9 Democrats who voted with us. If you know, for your supporters or followers who might not know the political makeup, that was pretty impressive. You know, historically, this is not a group who generally aligns with us, but they really understood our access to care message. It resonated and they ended up voting with us. So we have had some doors slammed. But again, you know, my take is you can slam the door. I'm going to be back next week. And in the meantime, before I come back, just know you have somebody you can reach out to when you have questions. And I have gotten so many phone calls from legislators who have kicked me out of their offices, who have said really mean things to me, and said, hey, Jackie, you know, this issue has come up. We would like you to come sit down and talk at the table with us. So don't take it personal. It happens to the best of us, but I don't believe that's going to happen to your supporters who show up and advocate.
Yeah. And I do think that that's a big fear. I know for myself, you know, there is also a strength in numbers too. So I know one of your tactics is to organize several people to break them up into groups and then to have people go together into an office, which I will say is far less intimidating. You know, when you enter an office, you don't know exactly what their stance might be, you know, if you might get that door slammed
That's
in your face.
That's a great question to start with. That is, it's something that I do on a regular basis. Where do you stand on this issue? And you would be really surprised, even in offices that you think you're not going to get a warm reception, they might say, hey, the position, my personal position is different than that of the office. Or my sister has a child who is harmed by their vaccines. What do you think about that? And so walking in, dropping those judgments at the door, asking them their perspective, and then sharing your heart with kindness and compassion, you can't go wrong.
Right, right. Yeah. And so it's funny because, you know, I often say that, you know, I don't have any skin in the vaccine game because my son was never vaccinated, still ended up getting sick. But I also recognize that many of my clients who come to me are coming as, you know, vaccine injured children. And so that's where my heart lies, is really, you know, the fact of the matter is, even though my child wasn't harmed by vaccines because he didn't receive them, that doesn't mean that he wouldn't have been had he received them. And so, you know, there still is a threat, like, you know, we've experienced recently, obviously, you know, where I do have fears that, you know, somebody might come in and attempt to force vaccinate him. And in fact, that was one of the reasons I decided that we needed to get out of California. So California passed a bill. I can't remember. I think it was 1262. I'm not sure exactly. So don't quote me on that. But where they essentially were trying to say the public health officials could come door to door and force vaccinate. And to me, that was far more frightening than any of the school bills that they were trying to pass in California, and did pass in California, unfortunately. So what are the threats on the horizon? What are the things that we're looking out for in various states across the country? And obviously here in Texas, what do you see coming down the pipeline?
Well, right now, I'm just greatly concerned when I flip on the news. Again, there is no shortage of Fauci, of Biden, of Mandy Cohen, the newly appointed director of the CDC, encouraging masking and virtual learning and social distancing and vaccine mandates. So if I had, you know, one message that I would drive home is we cannot allow a repeat of 2020 ever again. We can't allow it this election cycle. We can't allow it 5 years from now. We have to stop it dead in our tracks. And then when we stop it dead in its tracks, because we are going to, we're not going to put up with this. We're going to stop it. We have to be vigilant to look at these small stepping stone bills and these, you know, smaller infringements to your right to informed consent, to your medical privacy, again, to your, you know, vaccine freedom of choice. 2 years ago, we narrowly passed a ban on vaccine passports. This means we were days, weeks away from a statewide system that would have required you to show proof of vaccination to get into the grocery store, to get into, you know, any other place in your community. We actually saw this happening in Austin, where these types of mandates and requirements were being rolled out. And fortunately, not only did our governor step up, but our legislature ultimately stepped up and said, we're not going to have this. We are going to stop these vaccine passports dead in their tracks. But to your point, there are bills all across the country, all aimed at dwindling away at your rights to educate your children, to be involved in their education, to be involved in their medical choices. We have school healthcare clinics popping up all across the state. They sound really convenient to families, right? Never miss a day of work. Keep your child in school, but ultimately you are disconnecting from your role as a parent. So the best thing you can do is be active and involved and ask questions in every part of your child's life. Do not hand that role over to the government. They have not earned it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you give an inch and they take a mile. And I think, you know, the key at this this season, whatever it holds here in the future, is for people to align with their values and to not compromise. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, people going back to 2020 who felt that they were forced to be vaccinated or forced to be masked or any of those kinds of things, they were never forced. You made a choice. As difficult as that is to hear, they did make a choice. They made a choice to go against what they believed deep in their soul was the right thing to do. And unfortunately, if we allow that to happen again, you know, if people even just put on a mask to go into a store, you know, it's a mask for convenience, really, is what it is. So like what we're talking about is I'm wearing a mask because I would like to go, you know, grocery shopping in this particular store. Well, why are you supporting them? You know, if they don't align with your values, then don't support them. I think it's really important that, you know, we find community with each other. And, you know, even if we need to, getting together and doing shopping trips together and showing the companies and corporations that, you know what, you don't operate within my body. And so you don't have the right to make those decisions.
100%. No family should ever be put in the position where they have to choose between complying with the medical mandate right. They do not want, that could potentially be contraindicated for their particular situation, in providing for their family. That is completely unacceptable. And to your point, it starts with these mask mandates. It starts with some of these other smaller legal infringements. We cannot allow this medical tyranny to continue. We have to join forces and come together and say, we're not doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's so important. Okay. So moving forward, where can people find you and find all of the information that, you know, you have so graciously given out to others who are looking to do the same thing? Maybe people that are wanting to start their own organization.
Sure. So go to texansformedicalfreedom.org. That is the best place to sign up, get emails delivered straight to your box, and get on our list. Never miss an action alert. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on X, I think it's called now. Used to be Twitter, now X. I'm on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me at Jackie@TexansForMedicalFreedom.org. Again, Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E @TexansForMedicalFreedom.org. I'm just getting started. This is just the beginning for me. I think I read a book a couple days ago and it said like the 10-year mark is where it's at. And I was like, wow, I'm 9 years in. So like in one more year, you know, we're really going to take off here. But we've accomplished so much in the last 9 years. We're just getting started. And I want to personally connect with you and help you in any area that you want to learn to become a more effective advocate in a medical freedom advocate. I'm your girl.
So speaking about medical freedom in general, are you looking to expand your scope beyond vaccines? Obviously, there are many other medical interventions that, you know, are being maybe more forcibly attached to certain things, you know, things like, you know, you need to take this drug if you want to continue to be my patient, or, you know, unfortunately, things like medical kidnappings happening for parents who decide they want to go a different route than what the doctor has recommended. So is that something that you're looking to expand into?
You know, we touch on a lot of these subjects, but ultimately to grow and expand, we need your support. We need people to be active and show up and get involved and donate, because it does cost to go down to Austin and to pass bills and to expand our influence. So as we gain more supporters and more donors, absolutely, you're going to see us continue to build out in how we effectively advocate for medical freedom.
That's awesome. Okay, Jackie, so you're going to be in the hot seat now. So
I'm excited about this. I got my notes.
Yeah. Okay. So I ask all of our guests a series of 8 questions. These are just designed to be fun and interactive and to allow you to get to know our guest a little bit better, a non-professional type setting, something a little more relaxed. So yeah. Jackie, if you could choose only one natural remedy for the rest of your life, what would it be?
So I live on Enzymedica enzymes. I have to have my enzymes. I take my enzymes everywhere. I live on them. They have done so much for my health and my healing. And so my enzymes, specifically Enzymedica for me.
Awesome. Tell us something most people don't know about you.
I think people are going to be shocked by this one, because I talk a lot, but I love silence. Absolutely love silence. I need silence. I crave silence. When I don't have it, I'm not the best person. So that's something I try to incorporate into my wellness routine, is having a little bit of silence every day.
That's awesome. Yeah, that kind of introvert, extrovert kind of a thing for sure. Very cool. So if I were to compile a playlist of happy music, which Dr. Jim Meehan says I should do, but we'll see what happens. What song would you suggest be added?
So I have very eclectic, you know, taste in music. I like a wide variety of music, but I had to look at this from my kids' perspective. And if there was any music that really makes me happy and kind of laugh, it would have to be probably something by George Strait or Johnny Cash. I love both of them. I'm a huge Johnny Cash girl. And so just about any time Johnny Cash comes on, I'm smiling. I love it. And so really, you can't go wrong with Johnny Cash.
No, you cannot. I would agree with that. We should go to a concert sometime. We've got similar tastes in music. Awesome. Okay. So what's your favorite guilty pleasure, Jackie?
Hey, I had to think hard about this, because I'm just going to be honest and tell you, I don't have a guilty pleasure. I was kind of like Googling, well, what are guilty pleasures? And I couldn't come up with anything. But something that is probably unique that not a lot of people are going to relate with is I love to clean my house. And so like Saturday morning, my kids, they don't like to be around me on Saturday morning, because I wake up and the only thing I want to do is get into a zone, just OCD my little heart out and clean everything top to bottom. And that brings me so much peace. So I don't watch TV. I don't have, you know, things I binge, but I do obsessively clean. So that's kind of my, that's my me time.
I'll send you my address later.
I get that a lot. People say that.
Okay, so what's the most influential book you've ever read?
Hands down, without a doubt, Boundaries by Henry Cloud. Yeah, Henry Cloud. Just, I love all of the books that he has written, but it all started with Boundaries. And it's just such a great book. And it's something that we need to teach our children and really just has transformed my life.
Awesome. I'll have to look at that one. I haven't heard of that. Okay. What does the word revolution mean to you?
You know, so I think in today's world, you know, everybody's fighting for some sort of change, right? Like, it just seems like everybody wants some sort of change and something that they're passionate about. And I really see the revolution for me as getting back to the basics of life, faith, family, freedom. These are things that really are counter to the culture that we see today. And in a way, they're revolutionary. They're very basic, but they're revolutionary. So to me, getting back to the basics of life, the faith, the family, the freedom, that's revolutionary.
Well, and isn't that what the Revolutionary War was all about too? Awesome. So what does the word remedy mean to you?
To me, remedy is the least invasive way to perpetuate healing. So I always look at it through that lens, you know, with any procedure that we are going to do. What is the least invasive way to fix this, to remedy this?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you could impart one piece of wisdom to our listeners, what would that be?
You know, we've talked about it a lot in this podcast, but medical freedom is a constitutional right. There has never been a better time to get active and involved and to fight for our rights. The attempts of the government, the CDC, they are not stopping. They are coming after you. They are coming after your children, and they are not going to stop until they get full compliance. We must stand up. We must fight for our rights. We must not give an inch, and we must continue to remain vigilant against any and all attempts to infringe on our medical autonomy.
Absolutely. I think that's so important. You know, so often I think people think that because, you know, they don't necessarily agree with not being vaccinated, for example, then, you know, that it doesn't involve them, that the decision doesn't involve them. But medical freedom is something that involves everyone. You have the ability to make the choice to get vaccinated, and you should allow other people to make the choices for themselves, for their bodies, the decisions that, you know, they come to, and often in conjunction with their doctors. I think that's super important.
Sure. I think, you know, once you hand that right over, you cannot easily get it back. So even if you're somebody who has gotten the vaccine, you've gotten your boosters, we want to protect that right for your choice. But what you need to remember is once you hand over the right to make that choice, you're in essence handing it over for the decisions to come. We've got to stop. We got to push back against that. And we have to say, this is my choice between me, my chosen medical professional, and the government has no role in that.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, Jackie Schlegel, for being on the show. Everybody, please go to texansformedicalfreedom.org. Contact Jackie, get in touch with her. She's amazing. She's brilliant. And she has definitely been a guiding light for so many in the medical freedom movement. Thanks so much, Jackie.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Take care, everyone.